It is my habit on Communion Sunday to depart from our normal book of study and look at something to focus our attention on what Jesus did. We've been studying the book of Hebrews. You know, theologians try to complicate issues. Any theologian that has to write a multi-volume theology is making theology too complex. I've learned that. I'm around that all the time. And it really is, keep it simple. There are two covenants that God has set forth. We've seen this in the book of Hebrews. To redeem those whom He created. We've seen this in Hebrews. There's the old covenant. God in His mercy gave us His will in the old covenant. Paul said the old covenant is holy and good. But it was never intended to save. Why? Because if you could keep law, you could brag before God. A holy God that wants the glory for salvation is not going to let anyone stand there and glory in such being such a good person. Don't get me wrong. The Bible wants you to be sanctified. Pursue sanctification. But listen to me. Paul also said, your righteousness is filthy rags. That's why I caution Christians. The only reason why you're different than the world is God sought you out and you became born again, and there ain't nothing good in any of us. We've seen, what's the Old Covenant? The Old Testament. Simply put, the Old Covenant pointed to Jesus. All the sacrifices were merely pop-up books pointing to what Jesus would do in redemption. As a matter of fact, we've seen that Hebrews says the Old Testament, the Old Covenant was a shadow, a copy. It's disappearing. That's why I keep stressing, we don't want to be Old Covenant Christians. Imagine how many of us, it's time for confession. If we were Old Covenant Christians, how many of you would not have been stoned? John said, law came through Moses. The Old Covenant came through Moses. He was a good guy. He saw the reproach of Christ, did he not? But in Jesus, He inaugurated the new covenant. You are under the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, inaugurated not by animal sacrifice, but the blood of God. The Father's precious Son. And I want to show you this morning as this is what we're celebrating in communion. We're testifying of what Jesus did until He returns. And I want to show you not to go. What's the problem of the Hebrew Christians? They want to run back to the what? And hide. Fatal error. As a matter of fact, it's the worst sin you can commit. I know we could all give us a list of all the pip sins that we have done, but the one you never want to commit is once you know the new covenant through the saving blood of Jesus Christ, don't go back. And I'll show you why this morning as we celebrate. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Starting at verse 10. Drawing this out. If you're under the old covenant, Paul draws something in 3:10. Now, we can substitute for the word law the old covenant. And by the way, when Paul writes this, Many people were still under the law. Why? Because if you don't accept Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross, you're still under that. And guess what? You're either with the Lord Jesus or you're under the old covenant. Whether you like it or not. And it says this, "For as many as are under the works of the law," that's the old covenant, "are under a curse." Did you just see what I... Did you receive that? You want to be an old covenant Christian? You're under a curse. Now, we're going to get in a second to Paul saying the law is holy, just, and good. But it... Look, the law came with a contingency. You ever sign a contract and didn't look at the fine print? Huh? Well, I want to show you what he means here this morning. And we can be very thankful for the new covenant because I want to show you the contract. And it's in the fine print. Flee the old covenant. Run to Jesus Christ. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy means, and we're going to look at, we'll just start at verse 15 in a second. Now, I want to remind you that the law is good. It expresses God's holy character. But there was always a problem with it. You couldn't keep it. As a matter of fact, Romans 8:2, Paul says, the law, because it was weak in the flesh. How many of you would say, I would never want to displease the Lord? Raise your hand. You don't have to. Old preachers, when I was a kid, used to do that. I don't know why I did that. I wouldn't want to displease the Lord. But you know what I find out? Until we're glorified, guess what? Boy, was I feeling guilty this week. Because I had to get tough. And it bothered me. And I tried to behave. I tried. I couldn't. No, there wasn't much effort. And I kept reminding, I saw my dad. I just stepped to the side and I saw him. You would have liked my dad, except that don't mess with my dad. There was a point where you don't cross a line with him and his blue eyes would turn absolute steel. And you didn't want to mess with that. And I found myself, I have chocolate brown, but they were doing the same thing. Oh, by the way, they have a new way. They can do a laser thing on your eye now and change your eye color. I may come in one day. Because my dad had blue eyes, I'm coming in one day. Sarah got blue eyes. I'm coming in one day. I've always liked blue eyes, and I'm going to get that. They do a laser. It goes... And within 2 weeks, the brown goes away, and I'll have blue eyes. You go, who is that crazy man in that pulpit? They can do that now. I'm going to have blue eyes just like you, John. As soon as they approve it with the laser. Anyway, that's completely off the subject. What am I doing? Sorry, I'll blame it on the accident. And when Israel stood there under the old covenant and agreed that they would keep God's law, God knew they can't do it. It was our tutor, Paul's going to say. And look what they did. You know, God loves to give visual pictures. That's what He loves to do. Jesus was a teacher par excellence and gave visual pictures and parables. And here's what He did. This would have looked crazy to the whole surrounding nations as they looked with their binoculars or satellites that went over and took pictures. And they stood on mountains, and certain tribes on one mountain and other tribes on the other, hundreds of thousands of them. and they rat. Did you just hear what I said? That got some of you that don't like rap music. I remember when I first heard rap, I hated it. Now I've gotten numb to it. But they rat. Some on one mountain, some on the other. And here is what the rapping was. If you obey me, I will bless you. And they pronounced the blessing. One of you will take 1,000 and make them run. Can you imagine that? All of you can be a Samson if you obey me. Well, the good Samson part, you know, not the bad Samson. You will be blessed in your fields and everything else. But the other tribe looked at the fine print. And God did this. He knows that they cannot keep it. He wanted them to strive to keep it. But some of the tribes in chapter 27 read the fine print. You don't obey me, and then I want you to notice something from verse 15 on. This is what Paul says in Galatians 3, 10 and 11. Look what the other six tribes had to pronounce. Cursed is the one. Cursed is the one. 15, 16, 17. Cursed is the one. 18. Cursed is the one. 19. Cursed is the one. 20. Cursed is the one. 21. Cursed is the one. 22. Cursed. 23. Cursed. 24. Cursed. 25. Cursed. 26. Cursed. And what they were cursed, if you don't obey me. You want to be an old covenant Christian? You like stoning people? I like showing mercy because Jesus showed mercy. God delights in mercy. I have to show mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they show what? I need a lot of mercy. I'm going to confess to you, I'm going to need a lot of mercy when I stand before God's throne. Lots of it. And so I better show it. Do not throw out when Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Because when people are truly born again, it takes God's Spirit to forgive. And truly born again people must. And it's hard. Without God's Spirit, we can't do it. It's hard. I struggle with it. Struggled with it this week. And I'm still struggling with it. You want to be a Old Testament Christian? Here's the fine print. Do it all, or you're guilty of it all. Look at verse 28:1. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do what? How many of you could say, I could keep God's law and do it all? In Acts 15, James gets up and says, we couldn't do this at all. Why? Because he gave you a treasure in earthen vessels so that you realize your need of Jesus Christ. Lord, you must forgive me. I can't do it all. I'm under a curse for this. Can you imagine they all fought in their naiveness? Yeah, Lord, we'll do it. Here's the fine print. Do it all, or you're guilty of all. You want to go back to the old covenant? You want to retreat from Jesus Christ? Listen to me, you're not without law under the new covenant. You're under the law of Christ, it says. Love is the fulfilling of the law. I'd rather have love than any law. Now let's go back to Galatians to see what we're celebrating this morning. For as many as are under the works of the law, you want to retreat. Every one of those people who profess Jesus that would run back to the old covenant put themselves under a curse. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things. We just read 28:1, did we not? Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. That's why these people that think they're going to stand before God and say, Lord, I was a good person, have no clue. Because God deliberately designed the law because of the weakness of the flesh, so you couldn't do it. Why? Because He wants you to depend upon Him for salvation. You don't need your righteousness. You need His. It's fully provided in the new covenant. Lord, be merciful. You know what got Jesus' attention? You know what God loves to hear? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's no goodness in me. But thank you that through Jesus, I'm clothed in His garments of righteousness. Now that no one is justified by the law, is evident the righteous one will live by what? Okay, where did we get that from in the book of Hebrews? Without what? It's impossible to do what? You want to please God? Don't put on your car a bumper sticker, follow me to Grace Bible. Or this car will be unmanned in the rapture. Or whatever bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. My mom used to put that on our car when I was a kid. And I couldn't tell if people were mad. And then, you know why I will not wear a sticker, a Christian sticker on my car? What now? Who said that? What? No. Do you think I'm always sanctified when people try to do things when I'm in my car? And I would defame the name of Jesus because you ever have somebody honk at you from behind? And you feel like getting out of the officer is here, so I'll be careful. I have the right to remain silent. I have a hard time being sanctified, and I don't want to defame the name of Jesus. So I don't have a fish or anything. I don't want them to know I'm a Christian because, you know, the flesh is weak. Did I tell you I was arrested by a Greek student? I'm going to tell the story because some of you are so new. I can tell, now that we get enough new people, I can tell stories. They're new and yet they're old. I was on Highway 126. Does that sound familiar? And I turned a corner and was not watching my speed limit. Sure enough, those highway patrol know the best spots to hide, man. Lights went on. The kid said, "Daddy's going to get a ticket." That was the sympathy I got. Do you remember that? "Daddy's going to get a ticket." Cops gets his hat on. You know, by the way, before they ever come up to your car, they have license plate readers, everything. They know the last time you went to the bathroom most of the time. These guys, it comes all red out now. That's what they have. License plate scanners everywhere. You are no secret to them. So the guy has his hat on, dark sunglasses. I was always afraid of those kind because, you know, I knew I'd end up Peter Pitches or wherever out there, or, you know, in there. And he walked up to my car. What could I do? I can't lie. Well, I could, but it wouldn't get me in. So I decided not, you know, here. I just took my license, my registration, handed it to him. After I rolled down the window, and this is what he said as soon as he got it. "How's Greek class?" It was one of my students who was working for the highway patrol as he went through seminary. Now that's how to get even with a Greek professor. Arrest him. We're weak. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? He took the curse for us. You know the only person that ever was able to keep the law perfectly? Jesus. Do you know what He gives you in salvation? That's what we're celebrating this morning. There's the most marvelous exchange that goes on in God's work of salvation. What a deal. He takes your sin. All the wickedness. He placed it on Himself. And He gives you the perfect righteousness of Christ. So when God sees you, He sees you through the glasses, if we speak, of seeing you clothed in Jesus' righteousness. And there's no more curse. And the only righteousness we have this morning is what the Bible calls being found in Him. And you stand before the Lord, if you know Him as your Savior, perfectly, perfectly clothed in absolute righteousness because of what he did. And God forgets and forgives. And that's what we celebrate. Who would want to go back to the old covenant?